I grew up in East Germany, the former GDR, and when we studied history there, we learned quite a bit about the National Socialism, the Nazi regime, the Nazi genocide, and mostly about the persecution of anti-fascists and communists, but we never really talked about the persecution of the Jewish populations, either in Germany or in Europe more broadly. And so when I was an exchange student, much later in the early 2000s in St. Petersburg, I encountered survivors of ghettos and concentration camps, because I was interested in how they would react to the fact that the German government at the time, and for the first time since World War II, was actively paying compensation to victims of the Nazi regime in Eastern Europe. So I was curious how these people thought about it, how they perceived it, how they understood what was going on, and whether they valued it or not. And through those questions, I actually realized that there's a whole history of persecution that I was not aware of. So in a way, you could say that not knowing part of what we now call the Holocaust brought me to those questions. But at the same time, I was also involved in some activism in Germany itself around these issues of compensation, because that was the time that the new Germany, the reunified Germany, was actively investigating that history, and then people started to think about, is there actually a way to address those damages in the past? So I was part of a group in Oldenburg at the time where I studied, who was trying to convince the health insurance companies to release their documentation, because that's where all the records were that would tell you about who was a forced laborer and where, rather than asking the victims of Nazi persecution, forced laborers, to document, to prove that they had been deported. So that kind of brought me directly to some of these organizations in St. Petersburg in Russia, and then from there learned about that history that I didn't know, even though having grown up in Germany studying the Holocaust for quite a while. So it was both a personal gap in knowledge, but I think also more kind of political responsibility that I felt we as young scholars have. I can talk a little bit about maybe about three collections that I'm working with, because they're very distinct in that way. So as you mentioned, I myself have been doing interviews with survivors of the Holocaust since the early 2000s. As I said, when I was in St. Petersburg, I started doing that work. And I was able to develop quite intensive relationships with these people, primarily because I spent a whole year there. But I also met most of my interlocutors, who would then become interview partners, through an organization where I volunteered. I helped providing translations of some of the documents. So we kind of had kind of a deep rapport in the way that we could talk about very personal issues of experience. And I think that really developed over time, again, through this volunteer work, but then also through being able to interview them multiple times over multiple years. And so I think that that makes that collection somewhat unique in the sense that it's a really deep personal relationship, which of course brings a lot of ethical questions with it. But I was able to interview people, learn about their experience, do more research, and identify some gaps that I wanted to know more about, and then I could go back to these people. So I think I have pretty comprehensive portrayals of these personal experiences. I've also been working with interviews conducted by the Shoah Foundation, so the Visual History Archive, which were interviews primarily conducted in the mid to late 1990s, both in Belarus and Russia, and some other places that kind of, or where people talk about experience that are relevant for my research. And I did notice there that the interviews are somewhat schematic. There was a catalog of questions that people went through, the interviewers went through, and then people responded to. And there was also a framework of the beginning of their experience in early life in the 1930s of the Soviet Union, where often interviewers would focus very much on persecution, on the destruction of Jewish life. And then at the very end of the interview, people would always end with some big words about the future and what they want to pass on to young generations. So this was this kind of this neat framework of it was all bad in the past, then it got even worse with the Holocaust, and now we're in the future and we can kind of look ahead. And I think that's somewhat problematic to kind of press people into this narrative. While at the same time, their narratives of the war period were very detailed, so they're very, very helpful as sources. But I think they have a very different kind of more cultural and also ethical framework in the goals of these interviews. So I've thought a lot about how this framework of kind of a set time, often that there was a set time frame given for the interviews, a kind of a given catalog of questions, how that actually impacts the narrative that you get from these interviews. And then last but not least, I've been recently starting to work with interviews, and it's a big question whether they are testimonies in the way that we think about them now, that were produced actually right at the end of the war, beginning in 1943. The Historical Commission of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union sent scholars into newly liberated territories and interviewed a broad range of people, mostly underground, members of the underground, of the partisan movement, but also teachers, people who had worked in the dining hall, people who kind of regular civilians, if you will, and asked them about the German occupation regime. And the transcripts of these interviews are available in the archive. They're recently released, and they're very, very interesting in the way that people have very, very fresh memories. Of course, it's 1943, 1944, and in that sense give a lot of information that I think many of us always thought was lost. So it's actually interesting to see that they are available. And they're different in the form or by way of thinking about them as testimonies because we don't see the questions at all. So I have a catalog of questions that scholars were encouraged to ask, but whether they actually asked them or if people started to talk on their own is somewhat unclear. So you have to think about the construction of the narrative in a very different way. So to your question about the methodological differences, of course, I think the relationship between interviewer and the interviewee is one of the central questions in working with these testimonies. So reconstructing these different contexts, the different agendas or goals of these projects, I think is very, very relevant for the scholarship here. I mean, I think the most drastic effect that we certainly see is the more or less complete destruction of Jewish heritage and Jewish communities. I think there's many localities when I go to small towns or villages, especially in the eastern parts of Belarus, where there used to be what we would now call a shtetl, a very active, lively Jewish culture. None of that is left, and many of the young people who live there don't even know that this was at some point a kind of a Jewish town, if you will. So I think the Nazi genocide in that sense was very thorough, unfortunately. And of course that has an impact on the way in which local populations relate to that history, because again, many of them actually don't know about it, either because they're young and nobody ever talked about it, or because they moved there after the war. So I think the destruction of Jewish communities in Belarus was quite thorough. And I think it's only now that we're beginning to realize what it means that a whole history is erased, because Jewish history in Belarus is Belarusian history. So there's a whole part of that history that's literally gone. I think that's the major effect that I'm beginning to recognize even more and more, the more I travel and the more I develop relationships with colleagues, with scholars, with kind of ordinary citizens, if you will. But of course there's many, many other things, but I think that's for me the central point of the long legacy of the Nazi genocide.